Welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship. I'm your host, Pastor Victor. Would you like to hear my story as to how I became a follower of Jesus Christ? Would you like me to bless you by sharing my story? Let me put it better. I get to share my story, and if and when I share my story with you as to how I met to Jesus, you will be blessed. Say yes. Say yes. Okay, here it goes. Now, as I tell it, there are three movements, three parts in my story. My life before I met Jesus. Number two, how I met Jesus. And number three, my life since I met to Jesus. Here's my story. I was born into a very devout Catholic family. A very devout, very, very devout Catholic family. However, growing up, my faith was not personal, my faith was not relevant, and my faith in God or in church had no impact in my life whatsoever. My faith did not make any difference as to how I lived or how I made my life choices. Now, growing up, there are three of us in my family: my older sister by 13 months, myself, the second son, and then Linda, the youngest, 13 months younger than I. I was the middle child, and you might say I suffered, I survived the middle child syndrome. My older brother, Daniel, he excelled in everything. He had the Midas touch. Everything he touched turned to gold. He excelled in school. He excelled in popularity. He excelled in sports. Everything he did turned to gold. And looking back in my upbringing or my early childhood, that must have impacted me significantly. So much so that growing up, my brother was such a bigger-than-life figure in my mind, and he was so popular by other friends. I had no name. I mean, I had a name, but nobody called me by my name. You know what they called me? Everyone said, "Hey, there goes Daniel's younger brother." That's what all the girls said. "Hey, check it out." And they weren't making a compliment about me. It was a reference to my older brother. So that made a significant impact in my life. And I remember during my adolescence and early adult years, I remember having this fear. My greatest fear in life, my greatest fear in life was this. On my deathbed, looking back upon my life, and I say to myself, Victor, you lived a life of mediocrity. That was my biggest fear, that I was living a mediocre life. Now, when you combine those two things, what happened to me was this. I had this sense that I was nobody, right? I didn't measure up to my brother, and I had this great aspiration to become somebody, but I had not done anything. I accomplished zero. I had no accolades to show for. Okay? Now, to make things worse, in my high school and in college years, I didn't get into drugs or alcohol, but I got into pornography. And that impacted me very negatively. I felt like a failure. I was nobody, and I was into pornography. So that made me feel so little. So that's my life before I met Christ. In the summer of 1989, I was still in the university, and I volunteered to serve at a eighth grader church camp. Funny, wasn't it, that here was a man to whom faith meant nothing, but there I was at a Christian youth camp. And I remember on the July evening. The speaker got up and he was talking to a bunch of eighth graders. And he was saying, God loves you. And here's how you know God loves you. Jesus, God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die for you. And if you believe in it, if you believe in him, if you put your trust in him, you will not perish, but you will have an eternal, everlasting life. You know what's funny? I've heard that message 1,000 times in the past. I've heard that John 3:16 reference 1,000 times. But for the first time in my life, the Holy Spirit made a difference. I felt the cleansing of my sins. That not only Christ died for the sins of the world, but he died for me. He died for me. And when he died for me, he took away all my junk, my sin, my mistakes. And furthermore, when he rose from the dead, he gave me a new identity. For the first time, I felt and experienced what it meant to be a child of God. On that night, something happened. I gained a new identity. I became a child of God. And that was my identity. So, my life since I met Jesus, what's changed? Because of the new identity in Christ, that I'm a child of God, I had a sense of confidence about myself. Not based on what I have done. I haven't done anything, no accomplishments, no accolades, no resume to show for. But the fact that God is my Father, that I am His Son, that He accepts me in spite of all my failures and sins, and He loves me, that gave me a tremendous sense of confidence. My life was changed. Not only my identity, but my destiny. You know, here was a young guy wanting to do something worthwhile with his life, but didn't know where to turn. I was lost. But then when Christ met me, when he found me, what was changed? My destiny. I recognized that I am destined for greatness, not based on my performance, but based on Jesus' performance. He died for me, and he gave me his perfect credit, his righteousness, the Bible calls it. And because of that, I found calling in life. And I was still driven, but for the right reason now. I still wanted to be somebody, but since I became somebody, God's child, his son, I wanted my life to count. So I am still driven. I want to do great things for the Lord. I'm still type A, but not for my own glory, but for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's my story. Now, friends, when you heard my story, did you feel blessed? Did you feel encouraged? Did you feel like, hey, if that's what happened to Victor, maybe I have hope in God? Hey, if that's what happened to Victor, maybe I could find my own identity and my security and my destiny in Jesus. Did that bring about hope in your spirit? I hope it did. I hope it did. Friends, we are blessed. And since we are blessed by Jesus Christ already, we get to be a blessing to other people. So last week, Pastor Jeremiah, he equipped us how to share Jesus' story, right? Remember? And if you haven't received that teaching and training, please go to our website and receive that equipping, all right? Now today, we'll be focusing on how to share your story, how to share my story. Why should we share our story? Well, let me give you three reasons. But before I do that, I want to read one passage from the Bible and then pray. And I want to answer why we should share our story. Ready? The word of the Lord, the word of God, comes to us from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. So let's go there. Please be encouraged to download the sermon outline so that you can follow along and then retain more understanding and learning. Got it? So hear the word of the Lord from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, open our eyes that we may see you in this scripture. Open our ears that we may hear your voice. Open our hearts that we may conceive you in our souls. To your glory, and to our edification. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. So, why should we share our story? Okay, I want to give you three reasons. Now, in this one verse that we read, it says, in your hearts, revere Jesus Christ as Lord. What that means is, set apart Christ as your Lord. Worship Jesus as your God. Keep adoring Him. Keep singing praises to His name. Go to Him. Bless the Lord Jesus. Okay? That's the first part. Second part. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. When you share your story, when you tell others the reason for the hope that you have in Christ, the difference Jesus makes in your life, then they will be blessed. They will be blessed. But they're going to ask you, Victor, Christina, Une, Samantha, tell me why you put your hope in Jesus Christ. When you tell them, they ask this question because they see something in you, right? They're asking the question because they see you different as to how you handle stress. They see you addressing the circumstances and the challenges of your life differently than how they would respond. And they are drawn to that. They are attracted to that. So they're asking the question, can you help me understand the hope that you have? What difference does Jesus make? So when you share your story, you are blessing Jesus because you're giving Him the glory. You are praising Him. You are revering Him as your Lord. The second person that you bless is what? Your friends, those who hear your story. Like, did you feel blessed when I share my story? I hope you did. That's what's going to happen. But here's a third person who will be blessed. You bless yourself when you share your story. How so? Because when you give the reason for the hope that you have in Christ, when you share your story with others as to the difference Jesus makes in your life, your faith becomes fortified. It becomes stronger. It's like pouring water to a plant. It's like sprinkling fertilizer in your garden. The more you share your story, the more you express the more you articulate the difference Christ makes in your life, the more blessed you become. So that's why we should share our story. Now, I want to break into three parts. Here's how you should share your story. There should be three movements or three parts in your sharing of your story. Like I said, the first part, the first movement, how your life before you met Jesus, my life before I met Jesus. Number two, how I met Jesus, how you met Jesus, how Christ found you. And the last part, what is it? My life since I met Jesus, your life since you met Jesus. We'll be looking at Acts chapter 26, and we're going to follow these three movements in the life of the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul will tell it in three parts himself. See, I got the idea from him, actually, so I need to give him the credit. But as you break into three parts, it will be very, very clear to your friends and for your hearers when you share them, okay? Now, as we share our story, it's in sequence, right? Because we are in this series called Bless, B-L-E-S-S. We are here to bless others because we are so blessed by Jesus. B stands for what? Begin with prayer. We start with prayer. Lord Jesus, break my heart for what breaks yours. My friends. L, listen. Listening to their stories. Yes, when you listen to their stories, you become connected. This is what friends do. Because you care about your friends, you listen to their concerns, their challenges, their joys. E stands for eat. We eat with our friends. Eating together is one of the most basic expressions of friendship. B-L-E-S. S stands for serving. Because you love them, because you care about your friends, you serve them with your talents, with your time, you see. And the last thing, S. When you do B-L-E-S, then the sharing your story comes organic and natural. It's a right fit. So let's find out what happened to the Apostle Paul in Acts 26. So what's the first movement? My life before I met Jesus. So let's find out Paul's life before he met Jesus. This is Acts chapter 26. Verse 1. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. "King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews. And especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently." Friends, what a nice introduction. He's not imposing his views, is he, upon King Agrippa? No, he is simply giving the reason for the hope he has in Jesus with respect and gentleness, with gentleness and respect, with meekness and understanding. And that's the posture we want to take. We want to be gentle. We want to be respectful. Okay? Let's continue on. Verse 4. "The Jewish people all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country. And also in Jerusalem, they have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that I conform to the strictest sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. King Agrippa, it is because of this hope that these Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead?" So here is the setup. The Apostle Paul is giving the introduction to the hope that he has to King Agrippa. Now, let's move to what his life was like before he met Jesus. Let's go there. Verse 9. "I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppress the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time, I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished and try to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities." See, that was Paul's life before he met Jesus. He was a zealous, zealous worshiper of God of Israel. He was a member of the Pharisees sect, meaning he obeyed the commands of the Bible to the letter. And that's because he was convinced, he believed, all the Pharisees did, that God would accept them, that God would love them, that God would bless them, only if they obeyed God. You perform, you obey, you are faithful to God, then God will bless you. That was the understanding. So he was very zealous, very zealous, very devout. So much so that when he heard that this Jesus Christ fellow, an imposter, he led people astray, the Jewish people, and Jewish people began following him as the Lord. And then somehow the idea that after he was crucified, he rose from the dead, Paul did not believe any of that. So he hunted them down like animals, and he put them in prison, and he put them to death even. He was that zealous. His zeal for the Lord burned brightly because he was convinced if he obeyed God by killing the Christians and hating Jesus, God would accept him and he would bless him. Let's move to the second movement. What is it? How I met Jesus. So let's find out how Paul met Jesus Christ. Verse 12. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." How did Paul meet Jesus? On the road to Damascus. He was going to arrest Christians and he was going to put them in prison and put them to death. And there on the road to Damascus, Jesus appeared. Paul recognized Jesus is alive. He's not dead. He is truly the Messiah, the Savior of Israel, the Savior of the world. His life changed because he met Jesus. He met Jesus. He couldn't deny his experience. He couldn't deny what he saw and what he heard. He simply began telling everyone, "Jesus is alive. He is resurrected. Let us listen to him. He is the Savior of Israel and of the world." You see, and that's why he was arrested. This is Paul, because he was telling everyone about Jesus being alive. And now he's standing on trial, you see. So that's how he met Jesus. A real experience, an encounter with the risen Lord. So, my life before I met Jesus, how I met Jesus, and my life since I met Jesus. Let's find out what happened. Verse 19. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, and then to those in Jerusalem and all in Judea, and then to the Gentiles. I preached that they should repent and turn to God, demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. That is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. Let's continue to verse 27. King Agrippa, Do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to become a Christian? Paul replied, Short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. What's changed in Paul's life? He said, I wish you may become what I have become, except for the chains around my hands and my feet. And what has Paul become of? Here, look. Here was a man who was driven to do anything in his power to obey God according to the scripture, the Old Testament. And he put people to death. He hated Jesus. He persecuted the Christian church. But now, because he met Jesus, Jesus is the real deal. He's alive. That he's the Messiah, Savior of the world. What's changed? He experienced grace. Grace. He realized, he learned from the risen Christ that he is loved, accepted, he's saved by not his obedience to God, but by grace alone. It's a gift. Jesus Christ accepted Paul. Even after killing all those innocent people, Jesus accepted him. And he loved Paul. And he said, I'm going to die for your sins, and I'm going to give you my righteousness. And therefore, your sins are forgiven, and you are fully approved by God because of what I have done. Paul became a person who received the grace of Jesus Christ. And that's how he's totally transformed. Still driven now. Still driven. But for the reasons of giving God the glory. He wants everyone to know that Jesus is alive. His devotion, his zeal, now is being directed to tell everyone, to share everyone with his story. Friends, Paul was blessed because he got to tell his story to others. And he blessed God. He blessed his audience, his hearers. And at the end, he himself was blessed. Now, I know what you're thinking. Many of you are thinking, yes, I hear you. But I am reluctant to share my story. I'm going to share four reasons as to why you feel reluctant to share your story. You ready? You ready? The first reluctance is this. You believe that you don't have what it takes. You feel like, well, I'm not Pastor V. I'm certainly not the Apostle Paul. I don't have what it takes. I don't know the Bible. I don't have all the answers. What if people ask me questions about theology and the Bible, and I know so little? I don't have what it takes. One good thing about story is that it's your story. That makes sense? It's your story. You're not presenting an argument, are you? You're not presenting a theory, are you? You're not trying to convince anyone, are you? No. You are simply telling your story. So when you tell your story, you are the authority and the expert because it's your story. In John 9, Jesus heals a blind man who was born blind. Okay? But people didn't believe that it was the same man, because who can open the eyes of a blind who was born blind, right? People said, oh my goodness, he can see. No. He only looks like the blind man, but he can't be him. No way. So this went back and forth, right? So they brought the blind man. Now, who is able to see, they brought him to the Pharisees, the rulers of Jerusalem. And they told him, who opened your eyes? Not Jesus. He's not a holy man. He's a sinner. How can a sinner perform that kind of miracle? And then here's what the man says. He says, I don't know. All I know is this. I was blind. Now I see. I was born blind, but Jesus opened my eyes. Now I can see. Is he a prophet? I don't know. Is it from God? I don't know. All I know is what happened to me. Friends, when it comes to your story, it's your story. And therefore, you can't say, you don't want to say, I don't have what it takes. Just tell your story. Tell your story. That's it. You have what it takes. Because, why? It's your story. No one can deny that. People can disagree with what you believe. What they cannot do is deny what happened to you. Okay? Second, the reason you feel reluctant to share your story is, my story is not interesting enough. Do you feel that way? You might say, well, my story is not spectacular enough. It's not interesting. It's not worthy of telling or sharing. Friends, would you please listen to what you just said? Jesus died for you. He did something wonderful in your life. It may not be spectacular in terms of, like, you know, plot, and you know, you never were a serial killer, and you were not a prostitute, and Jesus just transformed your life. You may not have that kind of story, but you do have a story of transformation, and somebody will find it relevant. When I share my story, was that interesting? As in, did you find it relevant? Remember that. Do not listen to the Satan saying, your story is not worth telling or sharing. That's not from the Lord Jesus. That's from the Satan. Third reason you might feel reluctant to share your story is, I don't want to impose my beliefs on my friends. I don't want to impose my beliefs on my friends. Friends, we hear this from Pastor Jeremiah time after time. Sharing your story is like one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. Let me make it better. Sharing your story about Jesus in your life is like you have the cure for the pandemic, and you're just simply telling people, hey, I found the cure. Go and get some. That's it. You're not imposing your beliefs. You are simply sharing. You know what's imposing? Is this. You are wrong and I'm right. You must believe what I tell you. That's imposing. But the beauty of sharing your story is, it's your story. And you're not imposing. Recently, Google asked me to become a local guide. I've put some reviews of restaurants I've been to in the past, and then Google said, would you become our local guide? So I did. So you know what it takes? Simply this. I go to a restaurant, and I receive the services, I receive the food, and I enjoy the ambience, and I simply write on Google Drive or Google Reviews, right? Friends, it's like this. Go to that restaurant. I went there and I loved it. That's not imposing. That's sharing, right? And the last reason for your reluctancy is this. I feel uncomfortable. I feel uncomfortable. I rather not tell it. I rather not share it. Now, I think you feel uncomfortable because of all the negativities out there. People who share Jesus the wrong way. People who told their stories as they were imposing it upon others, right? And then you don't want to do that, and you don't want to jeopardize your relationships and friendships with your friends, and that's why you feel uncomfortable. But listen, if you begin with prayer, if you listen to them, and if you eat with them, and if you serve them, that means they know that you love them, that you care about them. And when that happens, when you have the relationship, when you share your story, they will receive. I'll say, thank you so much for sharing that. That gives me hope. And lastly, let me just add one more reason as to why you feel reluctant. You might say, I don't have this conversion experience, right? And I hear this from people saying, hey, I was born in a Christian church. I was marinated in the way of Jesus Christ. I don't remember the time I was not a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, for you, it's really simple. You don't have the Damascus conversion experience. Instead, what you can share is the difference Jesus makes in your life. People see you, how you handle stress. People see you, how you handle the pandemic. People see you, how you handle marital problems, financial problems. They see you something. You have something that they don't because you have Jesus. You simply share with them, would you like to hear me share with you? Would you like to hear the difference Jesus makes in my life? Because when you do that, you're going to bless the Lord Christ, you're going to bless your friends, and you're going to bless yourself. Because Jesus is the Lord, and He wants us to be prepared to give the hope for the reason that we have. But we do that with gentleness and respect. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You that we are blessed to bless others. We thank You that when we share our story, You are blessed, and we are blessing our friends, and we are blessing ourselves at the end. Now, Holy Spirit, come into our hearts, remove the obstacles, and I pray for our friends here in this room joining us via online. We pray, O Lord, especially for those of us who are seeking God, seeking Jesus. They haven't found faith yet. In the name of Christ, may they be blessed through the story of the Apostle Paul. Now help us to be a blessing. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.